Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
I have a question for you today. And the question is, what is true biblical spirituality? What does that mean, to be spiritual? Spirituality is something of a modern buzzword. And it is used in the world at large. It generally indicates an interest in self-help religious concepts, often coupled, almost always coupled, with rejection of organized religion, do-it-yourself religion. How many times I've heard people say, "Oh, I don't go to church, I don't believe in organized religion, but I'm a very spiritual person." Have you ever heard that? "I'm a very spiritual person." Well, the truth of the matter is that there have always been a variety of forms of counterfeit spirituality. And the Apostle Paul deals with some of these in the book of Colossians, and we're actually coming to one of those sections today. We're coming to a conclusion, to the end of a section today, in verses 20 through 23 of chapter 2, which begins with the word therefore. Therefore. And whenever you find a therefore, you know that that is a concluding word. Based on what has been gone, what I've said before, based on what we've been looking at up until this time, therefore, here's what you should take away from this. This is what you should conclude from this. This is the summary and the finality of this, a summary, a restatement, a clarity in regard to the doctrine of false teachers, which has been the subject for the last several verses. And what Paul is teaching us is that there is a great need to recognize and reject counterfeit claims of spirituality, which are often, as here in Colossae, corrupted forms of Christianity. And why is it so important to recognize and reject counterfeit claims to spirituality? Because if you adopt the counterfeit, that will keep you from the genuine. What we need is genuine, biblical spirituality, not false forms, counterfeit forms of spirituality. So, come, let's gather around the Bible on this Thursday, August 11, and thank you for your gifts, which make it possible. But let's clarify what it means to have true biblical spirituality. First of all, there must be doctrinal clarity. Verse 20 again, beginning with therefore. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? He starts with a gospel declaration. Therefore, if you have died with Christ. I'm sure there are a lot of Christians who really don't understand what that means. But Paul said, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you died with Christ. He talked about that earlier. When you were baptized into Christ, verse 12, by the Spirit of God, that is when you first believed in Christ. And since that is true of you, if it's not true of you, then you have not been saved. You have never been born again. But if you are a born-again Christian, since that is true of you, it is an accomplished fact. You have died with Christ. Died. That's aorist tense verb. Past event with continuing results. So what does it mean to die to Christ? That means to be identified with Christ in his crucifixion. Now, when we hear that phrase, died with Christ, or dying with Christ, or dying to Christ, various phrases that are used, we are usually thinking of present-day sanctification. We're usually thinking of what sometimes is called the mortification of the flesh, putting to death the flesh, which is a good concept. But that's not really what it means to die with Christ. We need to, what a lot of people confuse this with, is dying to self. Yes, we need to die to self on a regular basis, on a daily basis. We need to put to death the old man and consciously commit ourselves to obedience to God, surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ all over again on a daily basis, dying to self and committing ourselves to obedience and faithfulness and loving devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's dying to self. But dying with Christ is what took place when you believed in Christ. In fact, the truth of the matter is, it even goes back before that, if we want to talk about the doctrine of election, but we're not getting into that right now. But dying with Christ is what took place when you believed in Christ and were justified by faith. As far as God's judicial record in heaven is concerned, you died when Christ died. If Christ died on the cross and thereby paid for the sins of those who trust in him, he paid the penalty, then there's a sense in which I died, I paid the penalty in Christ. So therefore, if you have died with Christ, you see, this is not an exhortation, it is a declaration. If is used to promote contemplation, but died, aorist, past tense. I say again, not an exhortation. Paul isn't saying, die to Christ or die with Christ. Come on, I'm calling upon you. Die with Christ. Put yourself to death with Christ. That's not what he's saying. He's declaring what has already taken place. If you are a Christian, you died with Christ. You died when Christ died, and because of that, he goes on to tell us, you have been freed from the world, from the basic principles of the world. Again, verse 20, Colossians 2. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, your death with Christ severs you from all former ties and obligations, those that belong to the old life, those that belong to the world. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans 7:1. Or do you not know, brethren? For I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You see what Paul's getting at there? If you are a born-again believer, you died with Christ. You died when Christ died, and you died to former obligations. He gives the analogy of marriage. If a woman's husband's alive, she's married to him, she joins herself in a physical relationship with another man, she's an adulteress. She's bound to her husband. She's not free. She's bound to her husband. But if her husband be dead, then she's free to marry somebody else, and she can enter into relationships with him. She now has a living husband. She no longer is bound to the dead husband. That's the old life. That's the former thing. That's gone. She has no more bond to him, no more obligation to him, no more responsibility to him. She no doubt cherishes his memory, but that's a different matter. But she has no more responsibility to him. That's the old life. That one was severed by death. And Paul says that's the way it is when you believe in Jesus Christ. You are severed from the old life by death. You have a different relationship now to the law than you had before. You have a different relationship to the world than you had before. You have a different relationship to Satan, the god of this world, than you had before. Before he was your king and you lived in his kingdom and he controlled you to a great extent, but now you have been freed from all of that because you died in Christ. And death frees Christians from the elementary principles of the world, the concepts that govern those still bound in the world, including false religions and worldly philosophies. And that's a gospel declaration. That's another way of looking at the gospel and the effects of the gospel. And I say, he begins talking about true spirituality by making a clear declaration. There needs to be doctrinal clarity. Here's what is your present condition if you are a born-again child of God. You're dead to the old life. And there's a practical result that grows out of this, and Paul then asks a question going on in verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? And the regulations he's talking about are the regulations of man-made religion. Why are you subjecting yourself to man-made religion? You've been freed from that. Why do you subject yourself to the precepts of human wisdom, human philosophy? You've been freed from that when you died in Christ. Why are you subjecting yourself to principles of materialistic focus? You were freed from that when you died to Christ. None of those things apply to believers any longer. Why, as citizens of heaven, do you bow to the dictates of earth, is another way we might put it. And what Paul is teaching is that a clear understanding of sound doctrine enables Christians to experience true Christian liberty. What is Christian liberty? Some people think it is freedom to sin with impunity. And as Paul puts it elsewhere when he discusses that error, God forbid that I should use the grace of God as a license to sin. God forbid that I should think that I who have died to sin should live any longer therein. I've died to that. That's the old life. It's gone. Not just the penalty for the sins of the old life is gone, but the power, the necessity to live according to those principles anymore, the desire to live according to those principles anymore. That's all gone. That's the old life. And it's a proper understanding of the gospel and what's involved in the gospel that frees us up to understand our true relationship to Christ and to false spirituality. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.